In your Bibles, please, for our second reading, our Old Testament reading. And we will find that in Genesis chapter 39. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him an overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass that when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. And he came in unto me to lie with me, and cried, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled, and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife which she spake unto him, saying, 'After this manner did thy servant unto me,' that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, it's an interesting passage, isn't it, to think of the providence of God. Remember, just 11 chapters or 12 chapters hence, Joseph will say to his brethren, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." That all that has taken place here to Joseph, all that has happened upon him, his being sold into slavery, bought by Potiphar, and so on, is God's providential working for the good, not just of Joseph, but of all of his people, and for God's own glory. Joseph, for his part, seems never to lose hope. He moves forward in blessing and never backward in despair. No matter what his outward circumstances are, whether with Potiphar or in prison, Joseph rises to the top through godly and holy industry and excellence in his business. This is a great example to all of us. No matter what your business is, whatever you do, do all to the Lord. Do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, for ye serve the Lord Christ, is how we said it earlier from Colossians chapter 3. Do not in your vocations, gentlemen, if you're working for someone, as Joseph was working for someone here, number one, don't think that to be second class. We've all been around those folks that say, if you don't own your own business, you're nothing. Oh, if Joseph could only have been in charge rather than a slave, he would have been better. Nope, not at all. Joseph was right where God had him, and he bloomed where he was planted. This is very important for us to remember. You don't need to be an entrepreneur, a business owner, some sort of, you know, startup after startup kind of thing. And although that is commended in our day, very often what we find is that such folks have a hard time settling down. They have a hard time with diligence and stick-to-itiveness and perseverance in any one particular calling. It may be more lucrative, but notice that Joseph had everything he needed at every particular point as a slave and then as a prisoner. These are really important lessons to learn. The second thing that we see here is that Joseph was trusted. Joseph was trusted. His employer trusted him. His master trusted him. As a slave, his master put all into his hand. Why? Because he was trustworthy. Beloved, be trustworthy. Children, don't be like those sluggards. Ladies, men, don't be like those sluggards, right? What does Solomon tell us about a sluggard? Like smoke in the eye and nitre to the teeth is like the sluggard to those that send him on an errand. Right? I'd rather poke myself in the eye than send this guy on an errand. Because I know he's not going to get it done. He's going to be distracted. It's going to take him 3 days where it should take him one. So on and so forth. Now, Joseph is trusted and appreciated because of his excellence, diligence, and his calling. Don't think of your labor as anything other than that gift which God has given you for his glory's sake, no matter if you labor for money or not. All right, so now we have in that final verse there in this first section, verse 6, we see that Joseph was also a goodly person and well-favored. That means he was handsome. He was a handsome young man. So he had many, many good gifts that God had given him. He was well-favored. He was diligent. He was excellent. He was godly. But we might say also that he was naive. And so we go to the next portion now in verse 7. And we have Potiphar's wife, who seems to be a pretty wicked woman. She at least is an adulteress in her mind. And then she's a liar and an accuser when jilted. This is a very, very wicked woman. May I say this about Joseph, that Joseph is also blameworthy here. Those of you who are in law enforcement, you know that there's this thing that we call an evidence chain of custody. If you collect evidence from a crime scene, you always do that with two people under lock. Things are bagged, they're labeled. two people are with them so that that evidence is not tampered with, so that it is secure from the crime scene to the storage vault. That storage vault is guarded. People are signed in and signed out. If they want to examine evidence, it's always with two people to look it over and so on. There's this double custody, or at least there should be, so that in all things, these things can be verified and validated on the mouth of two witnesses. Beloved, your chastity and reputation is worth more than evidence. And so, what Joseph does here is, while he has the best of intentions, no doubt, Potiphar's wife does not, but he assumes of her that she will behave herself in a way that will protect his chastity and reputation and hers, which was a very bad calculation on his part. And he went into the house when she was there and no one else was. And so he exposed himself and his reputation as one who believed God, right? That's what he says. How can I do this thing and sin against God? Notice that Joseph knows where that sin rightly belongs before the face of God. And so then she is left free to accuse him wrongfully, and he suffers for it. Now, God is in it. We understand all of that. But, beloved, do not ever put yourself in a compromising position. In today's world, we know nothing of two or three witnesses and proof. The accusation is the conviction in today's world. One of the things we tell our young ministers when they're coming up, as a part of their training and as a part of their exam, a part of what we call their practicum, their practical examination. We tell them, don't put yourself in a position where you can be accused of something. Make sure you're always with witnesses. And in our day and age, sadly, without going into detail, you will understand what I mean when I say what I'm about to say. This applies no matter what sex the person is anymore. Be very careful how you conduct yourselves, beloved. All it takes is a false accusation these days, and one's reputation is forever ruined. Because we don't know how to think as a people. And so a very successful ministry here that Joseph has in Potiphar's house is brought to an end. Yes, under God's providence. Let us not do the same. Let us not ruin ourselves or our reputation. It only takes one accusation and one untoward or naive circumstance to do that. So, protect your own reputation. And what Joseph could have done had he made sure that he had someone with him is he could have maintained Potiphar's wife's reputation as well. She most likely would have been more forward to behave herself in an upright fashion if there were witnesses. And certainly the false accusation would not have obtained with her husband if there were other witnesses. So remember that and maintain a proper, what I call a proper chain of modesty. Instead of a chain of custody, a chain of modesty. Maintain that propriety as well. All right, so now then we have the false accusation. We have, remember that Joseph is a slave, a very well-favored slave, now a very disfavored slave through a false accusation. And so he is able to do with him as he pleases, and he puts him in prison. Even though there was no crime committed, right, he was put in prison. And so being put in prison then, once again, the keeper of the prison sees Joseph's industry and excellence, and puts him in charge. And so we see Joseph's perseverance even in the face of trial. He did not become despondent. First he was sold into slavery. That didn't affect him. Now he's put into prison. This doesn't affect him either. And in that, he is a great example of committing himself to God and his providence, and no matter where he is, to behave himself uprightly. All right, thus ends the reading of Genesis chapter 39. Let's